Let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. And from the psalmist, all the ends of the earth shall remember and return to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before God, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and God rules over the nations. Let's join together to sing. This is just for Margaret Golding and for Olive. It's not really, it's just for the glory of God. We join together to sing, Lord, for the years. Clearly, that hymn was from the olden days when the children would come back in having made something, and that was, I guess, what my interruption was about. Do you remember those old days, eh? Remember that? And they'd come in and they'd made something. Well, yeah, there's a trainer coming. We join together to pray. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come as one and we come together to draw from the source of your life-giving love, to reconnect with one another and with you, to listen to your word and to base our lives on that which is eternal, to meet you in prayer and praise, and to learn and grow as your faithful disciples. Story-making God, Scripture is full of stories of people who know what you want them to do. But we know what it is to feel that life leaves us without direction. Forgive us, merciful God, when we feel the Spirit's promptings but we hesitate, when we're just too busy and just too comfortable, and when we find it all just too much of a challenge. Draw us close to Jesus so that in his light we would see the way ahead. True God, true vine, strength of all being, giver of all good gifts, healer of all that is broken, we worship you. Come and fill our lives, fill our worship. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you lead us?
Good morning, everybody. And a special good morning to Henrik. Hello, Henrik. Hello.
You might have Neville there somewhere as well, Sally.
Is Neville there as well? Oh, I'm just going to scroll through. I don't know if I can see Neville, but hello, Neville, if you're there. And I was going to say hello to the teenagers as well, but that would really embarrass them, I think. So I know you're there. I can see you. Hello. But I'm not going to put you on the spot. Oh, one of them's waving. Hello. There's a clue to the theme of the service in my little video box today with my background filter. As you can see, those leaves on a branch there. I've got two questions for you. The first is quite easy, I hope, and the other is a little bit more difficult. The easy question that I'd like you to try and answer in the chat box is, what is your favourite plant, flower, tree, bush, shrub? I think that's covered all of it, or leaf, whatever. And I'll read some of them out when you've put them in the chat box. Oh, I can almost feel my hay fever coming on as we speak. Actually, I had terrible hay fever this morning, really, really bad. Don't know if any of you did, but I've already had to take an antihistamine today. Okay, I'm going to stop you there because there'll be too many, but just for the purposes of people on the listening in. Oh, hang on, I've got an... Okay, sorry, I've got a new laptop and I don't know how to work it. Here we are. Right, okay. We've got, well, Bron obviously says daffodil. I wonder why that is. Pine trees, yeah, I like pine trees too. Wisteria, lily, delphinium, peace rose, freesia, snowdrop. They're always very hopeful flowers, aren't they? Buttercups, yeah, I'm glad wildflowers have been included. Daisy, daffodil, White rose, weeping willow, beech. Fantastic, thank you. Second question. If you were a part of a flower or a plant or a tree or a bush or a shrub, which part of it would you be? So would you be the roots, the branches, the trunk, the leaves, the flowers, the stamen, the carpel? I don't know. My A-level biology has failed me, I'm afraid. Or I should say I failed it, but there we are. So we've got leaf because of the photosynthesis, petals, branch, bud, pollen. Pollen? Maybe I should be pollen, then I could get my own back on everyone else. The scent. Yeah. I'm just looking at my... The bark, the root. Okay, anything else? Well, the fruit, yeah. Thank you. Well, today, Jesus is suggesting that we are like fruit-bearing branches of a vine, and that we've got to be in the right place in order to grow. We've got to be connected to the vine and not cut off because we're not bearing any fruit. So that's what our theme is in the Bible reading this morning. And I'm going to keep my leaves on screen because I like them. Thank you.
Thank you. So you all know what the gospel reading is, but let's have a look at the Acts reading, which Maddie and Elzark will read to us. It's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who is a trusted official of the Ethiopian royal court. He would have been a man of high status when at home. He had his own chariot, he had his own copy of the scriptures of Isaiah, but that wasn't matched with how he would have been viewed in Jerusalem. And then Liz Cook will read us the passage from John. Good grief, how many mistakes can one woman make in one introduction? This is second one is from John, Jesus' parable of the true vine, which I'm sure you all know draws on the scripture from the prophet Isaiah. Thank you.
An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get ready and go south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This road is not used nowadays." So Philip got ready and went. Now an Ethiopian eunuch, who was an important official in charge of the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia, was on his way home. He had been to Jerusalem to worship God and was going back home in his carriage. As he rode along, he was reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to that carriage and stay close to it." Philip ran over and heard him reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. He asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The official replied, "How can I understand unless someone explains it to me?" And he invited Philip to climb up and sit in the carriage with him. The passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was like a sheep that is taken to be slaughtered, like a lamb that makes no sound when its wool is cut off. He did not say a word. He was humiliated and justice was denied him. No one will be able to tell about his descendants because his life on earth has come to an end." The official asked Philip, "Tell me, of whom is the prophet saying this? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, starting from this passage of scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled down the road, they came to a place where there was some water, and the official said, "Here is some water. What is to keep me from being baptized?" The official ordered the carriage to stop, and both Philip and the official went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. The official did not see him again, but continued on his way full of joy. Philip found him in Azotus. He went on to Caesarea, and on the way he preached the good news in every town. Thanks be to God.
Reading from John chapter 15, from verse 1, the New International Version. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. That this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Thanks be to God.
So you can spot the product placement and tell that Christian Aid Week is nearly here. My name is Leslie Charlton, and I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. We would be grateful to get to know you. Don't just secretly watch our videos, but get in touch and we will do what we can. The texts that I am preaching from this day are John 15, 1 to 8, and then Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. Make sure you read them before you listen to me. If you are part of an organisation that calls itself a church, but everybody votes the same way, or is the same colour, race, social class, same age, same views on God, then however comfortable it is not a church. And if you are a part of an organisation that is the same as it was 5, 10, 20 years ago, and calls itself a church, it is not a church, however comfortable it is. Both of those sentences are true, but they are tough to live with. Increasingly, we live in a segmented society. Church is different from other organisations that we are a part of, and some of the skills that you have in other places are not useful here. Please leave your fitting in elsewhere. We don't want people who fit in. We want people who belong. We are people who aim to look out and to live not for ourselves, but for others. People think of church as about solidity and changelessness. Yes, it is, in regards of God, but not as regards God's people. We are always reforming and always changing. People think of church as a club of the like-minded, but But these two readings would challenge those assumptions. If you want to know about radical welcome, then the place you need to start is in that Acts passage. So let's cut to the chase with this. This is about people who are rejected from the faith community because of intimate sexual differences between them and others. And this is a contemporary reality for some. They feel that their sexuality, their physicality, means that they are outside of the purposes of God and definitely outside of the institution of the church. A eunuch in the court was somebody who had a very powerful position. They were men who had been castrated. That meant that they were outside of the chosen people. The law of Moses specified that no one whose testicles are crushed or whose penis is cut off shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord, Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. In Deuteronomy, the assembly of the Lord usually referred to the Israelite community gathered at Mount Sinai, therefore the religious community. Yet in this Acts reading, Philip talks to the Ethiopian eunuch, explains the faith to him, and then welcomes him in, baptizes him, without it going through whatever his equivalent of church meeting was. He knew it was right and he did it. How massive a change is that? Assuming that Philip was a Jew, which seems like a likely assumption, he goes against the teaching that he grew up with and invites the Ethiopian eunuch in. Who is in and who is out is a big thing in any community. And it feels like the British are becoming more and more anxious about it, being us and not them. It's an interesting feature of life when so many of us could point back to those who are immigrants being part of the life of our families. And certainly a large part of British economic success has to do with those who have come into our country. But if society is becoming more and more segmented, then of course we have to put more and more energy into proving again and again that we are us and not them, and we are in and we are not out. Our life together, in all its smallness and feebleness, is easy to dismiss and easy to take for granted with those of us who are saturated in church, but is a thing that needs to be cherished. Through all the madness, through all the meanness, it is important and it requires work. In John, every branch that bears fruit still gets pruned. Yes, the dead wood is chopped off, but the branches that bear fruit still get pruned. Our assumption for living of life is that if we're on the right track, then there'll be times that are moderately demanding, and then there'll be lovely, luxurious growth. This text says, God prunes out of love, chopping, cutting bits off. It's a well-known metaphor to think of the church as the vine with the branches. The branches getting their nourishment through the vine. Our nourishment comes through the vine. That means that it doesn't come from other places primarily. We are people nourished by our union with the cosmic Christ. Not by conversations with our pals, not through our newspapers, and not through the screens that we watch. Firstly, we are fed by Christ. It's of course, once we have been fed, then we spread out, that flows from our first feeding. What would church look like if it really embraced this model of corporate life together? It speaks of interrelationships. It speaks of true community. It speaks of interdependence rather than independence and self-reliance, which is so well loved in our society. It's one of those things that people say with such sorrow, my life is worthless because I can't do anything for anyone anymore. And the answer is, now is your turn for people to do things for you. And your job, because we all always have a job, your job is to do the work of kindness and gentleness that allows people to care for you. Church is a group of people who need each other, not merely checking in once a week with Zoom, or not running a lettings business or a community enterprise. It's not merely running a business that talks to power in the town. A group of people facing inwards in love for one another and then facing outwards beyond to the outsider. And if that's true, what is the fruit? What does it look like? It is boundless love of God and boundless love of neighbour. Bearing fruit means engaging with ourselves as individuals and as a church in activities and tasks that recognise and invest in the goodness of God's love and spreads that out to love of neighbour. That's what we are called to do in love. The other element that needs to be mentioned on our way through is that linking of us together as human beings. And every time I say that, I always think of Tony Wenman, human beings. We are church linked together, but we are also committed as human beings on this planet battling with global warming, where those who do the most damage are the least affected. There is no second planet. We've only got this one. And together we are bound as one on this planet. And together we have to work it out. Our linkedness as part of the vine of humanity. A unifying thing. The final point I would make, and there are loads of things I could say about these two texts, is to draw us back to Philip and his conversation. He takes the opportunity. He spoke to the man about Jesus and the core message of the faith. Can you do that? You're having a few drinks with someone, or you're out for a walk, and they say, "You go to church. Why?" And at that point, they don't want some great long theological taradiddle. And they don't want massive theological words, which might impress in churchy circles, but leave them feeling ignorant. And they don't want to know about church politics and church policies, nor do they want to know what an expert you are. They want to hear about the faith that is yours, who Jesus is. These opportunities happen and we have to take them. We have to be ready, practiced, not full of cliched speeches, but linking to the vine and able to tell of Christ. When we come out of this thing, it's going to be a time of shake-up, both in our churches and in society in general. And it's our job to stick to our beliefs, to be vine fed by Christ, and to invite others to travel with us. Some will be in Kingston, and we know now that some will be around the world. And we will be shaped by the welcome that Philip offered. but it will not be church unless we are fed together by the vine. Expecting pruning and expecting growth. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord of the vine, we know that we are knitted together for the world. So we pray. As India faces the ravages of coronavirus, we pray for some relief for their suffering. May there be a desire to share resources. And even as the situation with the virus changes here, we are mindful of the many families across this country who are still trying to come to death, to terms with the death of a loved one. And even if yesterday under 50 of us died, for those who are left, each one is that one. So for those struggling with the pain of loss, and we pray for those living with long COVID and what that means in terms of life and work and relationships. Lord of the vine, we know we are knit together. We need wise, humble leadership. And yet in our politics, there is a sense of sleaze and distraction. Take people beyond their comfort to focus on duty and higher causes. And let people work together to admit when they need help and build justice for our world. Lord of the vine, we know we are knit together. For the church, we pray. For the church around the world, the persecuted church. Churches where gathering on Zoom is difficult because data is so expensive. For our brothers and sisters in Christ in Kingston, for All Saints with St John's, for Everyday Church, for Kingsgate, for the Methodist Church, for the Quakers, for St Raphael's. And for the churches of our own denomination and tradition. Lord, this will involve great pruning. But with you, let there be growth. Lord of the vine, we know we are knit together. For our community, we pray. Lord, there are a wide range and variety of feelings about the change to lockdown, from those who are exhilarated by trips to the hairdressers or sitting outside pubs. There are others who are anxious about the possibility of a new surge. May we in our society find understanding and empathy for one another. And give us the ability to think in terms of the whole community, not just about ourselves. So we pray for the leaders of the council and for the leaders of the businesses in Kingston, balancing economic and health needs. Lord of the Vine, we know we are knitted together for our church, our family, our friends, ourselves. Thank you that we are all connected to you, our true vine. And when we feel disconnected from our communities, families, and even ourselves, help us to use this picture of the vine and to feel rooted in you. And your comfort, your justice, your community. Lord, we pray. Amen. So before we dedicate our offering and move on to our Holy Communion, let me give you a few notices. Today, as usual, we'll worship in the building at 5 o'clock. Come if you're wearing a mask, if you've cleaned your hands, if you sign yourself in, everybody's welcome. If you wear a mask, you know, you get the picture anyway. Next Sunday, the worship will be at 6 at All Saints. It's Christian Aid Week. And that's where it'll be. And to make that happen at All Saints, they would like you to book your spot. And I will, in the email, I'll send out the instructions for that and how that happens. And then from the week after that, that's from the 10th, prayers every day will be at 10 o'clock. Instead of 2, they'll be at 10. So I'll be sending you details of that. The other thing that's happening next week is Songs of Praise, which some of you may watch. I was standing in my garden, making cups of tea for people, and then Katie Piper comes around the corner to interview Mr. Raymond Charlton for Songs of Praise. So that's one of the things that's going to happen week up next, and we'll see how we go. Yeah, so more details of that. And also next Sunday, church meeting. Foyer coffee service opening again on Monday the 17th. We need more volunteers, please, to help with the refreshments. That might be you, might be somebody that you know who's looking for a bit of volunteering in the community, starting to think about moving out. If you know anybody, please encourage them and then speak up. Christian Aid Week, as you might have guessed, is looming, 10th to the 15th of May. It won't be door-to-door collection this year, but there will be a group of ministers carrying buckets of water. Why do I think that's easier? Why do I think that's easier? Every day. I'm carrying buckets. There's a gang of us carrying buckets of water, walking around between 6 churches. 4 miles, is it? Anyway, that's what I'm going to be doing. I hope none of you go into crisis that week, otherwise I'm in real trouble. But the plan is pictures up and money to Just Giving. We've got a target, 20k, got to raise more. That's all there is to it. So please give generously, and more details of that as we get them. And Christian Aid Quiz on the 15th of May, 7 for 7:30, please come. Podcast. During this time, How have you done it? What tips, tricks, wisdom, spiritual insights have you got? We want to hear them, please. Bring them in. Send them to me. Two things about people. Firstly, would you fancy going to Greenbelt? What is it? It's a Christian music festival. Bethany's going, if anybody else fancies going, it's in Kettering, 27th to 30th of August. Speak up and Bethany, speak to Bethany or speak to me and I'll pass you on to Bethany. Get in touch. And then please, could you continue to pray for Myrtle, who is in hospital at the moment, due out maybe today, maybe tomorrow. Pray for God's healing for her. And now we can move to our Holy Communion and I will dedicate the gifts. So let us pray. Lord, how would it be if we offered to you the small change? The bits that are left over. When you have come to us and offered your life on a cross, we dedicate ourselves and we offer bread and wine and money as a symbol that we offer all that we have and all that we are in response to what you have given to us. Pour out your spirit on these gifts. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen. During the meal, he took bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it and said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Later in the meal, he took a cup of wine. And after he had given thanks, he said, "In this cup is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Drink it, all of you, to remember me." So we will do as Jesus did. We will take this bread and this wine, the produce of the earth, the work of human hands, through which Jesus has promised to make himself known. And we will know that at this table, everybody is welcome. Those who have been told they were outside are now included. And for each of us, we too have a place here. And we are here because he has first loved us. And as Jesus said a prayer before sharing, so let us offer our prayers of thanks. Lord, we praise you. For you are the one from whom we came and the one to whom we will return. The one who conceived the universe and wove the world together. The one who holds all life in your hand. You watch us waking or sleeping. You keep every tear that we shed and hear every prayer that we make. You know us best, at our best and at our worst, and you will not let us go. So with rain, wind and sunshine, with virus and with health, with all that moves in time with its maker, we praise you. With angels and archangels, with the saints from long ago, with our loved ones who are gathered around the heavenly table, we praise you. blessing and honour, glory and power belong to you, O God. Be known to us through bread and through wine, that as we eat and drink, we would know ourselves as part of the eternal vine and know ourselves held, cherished, and loved by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is my body, he said. It is broken for you. This is my blood, he said. It is shed for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Let us pray. Gardener God, giver of sunlight and soil, of nitrogen and nutrients, of rain and of restful nights, you give us what we need, living word and living water. You invite us to abide in you, promising fruitfulness and faithfulness. You tend and care for us, enabling and empowering our life-giving. Give us the courage to accept the pruning blade, to welcome the little deaths that lead to life. Help us to welcome challenge as readily as comfort, to give thanks in every turning of our lives. Root us firmly in your love. Turn our faces towards your radiance and flow with power through our deeds. And we pray in the name of Jesus, our garden companion. Amen. So you know what I'm going to say now. We're going to sing a hymn and then we're going to go into blessing and then a breakout rooms. Please hang around if you can. It'll be good. It's good to catch chat. Should have said it's a bank holiday Monday. So some of the things that you might do on Monday, and I'm not going to be available for the usual chat. If you want to talk to me, you've got to be my mother. Apart from that, I'm sorry, gang. I'm not going to be around unless it's an emergency, of course. Hope you have a good bank holiday Monday. Let's join together to sing Lord of All Hopefulness. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen.